Hey everybody, I'm Eileen Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to ask you a question. Are you weary? Are you worn out? Guess what? I was weary and worn out on Monday. And as I was preparing for this podcast, you know what? Nobody needed this lesson more than me. I want to talk to you today about finding rest, true rest. I want to talk to you about losing your religion to find life and becoming faithful with what is in front of you to find balance. Because you see, life doesn't come from a list of rules that we keep, but a redeemer that we determine to follow. Now, to start us out inside of our podcast today, I want to give you a little background story. So my boys are 19 and 17 now, but when they were little, they loved to catch bugs. And a family friend made for us this critter cage. It was this neat little cage that was screened in, and so they could catch bugs, and they would catch and release fireflies all the time and things like that. Well, one fall, Josh found a praying mantis, which is a really cool bug. And so we did some research on the internet, and we had the praying mantis inside of the cage. We researched what it ate, what it drank. We went to the pet store because we found out that it ate crickets. We got crickets for this thing to eat. And the boys were fascinated by it. We named it. We called it Manny, you know, praying mantis Manny. And so we kept the praying mantis for a few days. But then I explained to my boys that, you know, this praying mantis needs to be free because it's not meant to live in a cage. It's meant to live out in the wild. That's God's intention for this little critter. And so we all decided that while we would love to keep Manny, that it was time to let Manny be free. And so as nighttime came and we're getting ready for bed, we said, okay, it's time to say goodbye to Manny. And so we all said our goodbyes. And then we sent Manny outside on our front doorstep and we opened up the critter cage and then we all went to sleep. Well, the next morning, the boys came excitedly. I want to go see, did Manny leave his cage? Da, 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 da. And so we went down and I thought for sure that Manny would have just gotten right out of Dodge, right? Because he had freedom now. But do you know what? That praying mantis was still inside of the cage. And it just illustrated this great point that sometimes freedom can be right in front of us, but we're not taking advantage of that freedom because we're so used to where we are currently because of rules and ways of thinking that are really set deep in the subconscious of our mind. Now, I want you to hold on to that thought. And now I want to dive into our nourish scripture. And much like we opened up the door for Manny to be free when Jesus came here to earth, he opened up the door to freedom by ushering in the new covenant. And by ushering in the new covenant that Jesus gave freedom from the law. But much like Manny still stayed inside of his cage, the Pharisees missed out on Jesus right in front of them, missed out on finding that freedom from the law because the law had become their lens from which they were viewing life. And because of that, not only were these Pharisees, not only was the law the lens from which they viewed their life, that Pharisees, well, they were sort of like lawyers of the law. I mean, they studied this law and they prided themselves on keeping these external laws because they distinguished themselves from other people. And the law, in addition to that, these Pharisees put these laws on other people, right? and loaded people down with really these hundreds of laws that went beyond even the Ten Commandments. And these hundreds of laws were a burden that people could not carry, and they were becoming weary and worn out. And Jesus came to free everybody from that, including the Pharisees, but the Pharisees didn't recognize it, just like Manny couldn't see his freedom. When Jesus came, they couldn't see their freedom. And the reason is that the law had become their Lord, right? And the thing is that the law was never meant to be our Lord. It was actually meant, the Bible tells us, to lead us to the Lord. But when the Pharisees saw Jesus, they didn't see freedom. What they saw was a threat to their identity. And so they were hanging on to those old laws, and they completely missed out on freedom in Christ. And not only that, but they continued to heap these rules on other people, and it was a burden that no person could bear. And that's where we find, that's sort of the background for the scripture that I'm going to read to you today. And I'm actually going to read it. I'm actually going to read it from the New Living Translation, and then I'm going to hop over to the Message. So in Matthew 11, 28, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light.'" Now, let me give you just a background even to when that scripture is. So Jesus is speaking very tenderly to people, and basically he's telling them, you don't have to carry that law anymore. Come and follow me. Take that yoke off of you. Now, what is a yoke? Well, back then, the people would understand this because many people were farmers and had livestock that helped them do work. And back in biblical times, animals, usually oxen, were yoked together to complete a task such as plowing a field. And each of these yokes were specifically designed and uniquely handmade for a particular pair of animals. More importantly, there was always a lead ox that was stronger and smarter. And that lead ox would be yoked to a weaker one. And the yoke was designed so that the stronger ox would carry the weight and the weaker one would simply follow along to complete the task. And so basically Jesus was giving these people pictures of the difference between pursuing him and pursuing the law. And that truth is just as real for us today as it was to the people back then. So basically, Jesus is saying, come to me and take my yoke. Follow me and let me carry the weight. And you'll find the rest that your weary soul has been looking for. My yoke is specifically designed just for you. And when you lay down what you think will bring you life, I will bring you an abundant life. And the rest that I give is not the rest from the problems of the world. It's something even greater. You will never be alone with my strength. I will lead you to accomplish your God-given purpose. And so that was the invitation on the table. And Jesus was speaking very tenderly to these people that were burdened by the law. But, you know, the Pharisees had the same invitation, and yet they didn't take it. Just like we opened up our door to let Manny out and he didn't go out, these Pharisees didn't take it. And the reason is that the law had become their Lord, and it had created a lens over their heart to harden their heart so that they weren't even able to see that liberty in front of them. Now, As much as I love to point my fingers at the Pharisees and say, well, I would never do that, and I'm not under the old covenant, and I'm not legalistic, you know, as much as I would love to say that, I know that there's also a part of me that creates laws. Now, they might not be old covenant laws, but they're inner vows that I've created inside of my experiences in life, rules that I've constructed, you know, philosophies that I've developed that are what I think will give me life. And it comes from, everybody does it, really. It's sort of a natural response. It's a natural that we often respond to wounds in our life by subconsciously creating rules that hold other people, other things, our circumstances, things beyond our control, responsible for giving us life. And I'll give you an example of that. I'll give you an example from my own life. In my own life, and when I'm talking about these rules, these inner vows, I'm talking about the things that you say after walking through an experience that usually start with, I will never, or I must always. For example, I will always strive to have a perfect family. Or I must be all things to all people. I must have everybody happy with me to feel good about myself, right? I must never let anybody down. I can never experience rejection. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, aren't these things good, Aline? Like, you know, striving to have a good family. And I say, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. These are good things. But when these determinations, when these decisions that they make, when they become fixed laws in our life, we lose our freedom in Christ. And not only that, but we yoke ourselves, because all of these laws that we create, they're not connected to the Lord, but they're connected to something or someone. For example, go back to the yoke of the perfect family. The yoke of the perfect family means that if I get married, that my whole world, you know, and so many women will share this story with me, you know, that we just were up thinking, you know what, this happened to me growing up, and I am never going to let my kids go through this, right? And so then the way that we parent is very protective, right? And we end up in that self-protective mode of our parenting, you know, one, being disappointed because you can't protect your kids from everything bad happening to them, okay? Or you may hold your kids to unrealistic standards. Or perhaps it is, maybe, that you enter into a marriage and you followed all the rules, right? You read every Christian book on marriage and you did it all right. And then your husband has an affair. And you walk away from that experience believing that you have failed because you set up this law in your life that you must have a perfect family. And nothing could be further from the truth. Or when your marriage failed, that you were just, because that was the law in your life, you could not love yourself anymore, and you started to try to change you, and you stopped living in authentic freedom. This concept is a little bit complicated, but when you really stop to think about it, the laws that we can create in our life, they lead us away from our authentic freedom inside of Christ, because it yokes us to people and things beyond ourselves. And when we are yoked to people and things beyond ourselves, those yokes yank us around. And they yank us around to the point where we are not able to be faithful with what is in front of us because we're always looking to the left and to the right and to what other people are doing instead of just following Jesus and being faithful with whatever is in front of us. Here's another yoke. The yoke of being all things to all people. When you take that yoke on, and that yoke comes from this. So you've yoked yourself to the opinions of others or particular people. And when that yoke comes on your life, the inner vows that you've created that are usually behind it are something or like this, I must please everybody, or I must prove to everybody that I'm good, or I must change who I am when I'm around people to be who people want me to be. And a lot of times these I will never, I must always, they're nothing that we articulate or we write down as a goal, but it's just something that happens, right? I mean, the process for it happening is that we walk through a traumatic experience, and from that traumatic experience, we create a vow. I will never, I must always. And vows can also be judgments, right? They could be judgments about people. Men are terrible, right? And the thing from that, see, then that becomes our leader. And what if God wants to heal you, like through a new relationship? But if you have that law in your life, men are terrible, well, then you can't open up your heart to be healed. And you're really not free. Because what are you following? You're following your laws instead of the liberty in Christ. Instead of the liberty in Christ. Okay? I know. I mean, I would hear teaching on this inner vow stuff, and it was very hard for me to understand. And so I hope that this is sort of bringing it into clear picture. So here's another yoke, the yoke of yesterday. Boy, did I carry around this one for a long time. Now this is when we say, if I could just fix my past, right? If I could only fix my past. And I must fix my past. And so you just center your life on living out of the past. Well, if only this were different, if only that were different, and you blame this person and that person, and all of this can be true. But when that becomes your focus, then you've yoked yourself to something that you cannot change. You can't change your past, right? And so then you live like with this sense of hopelessness. And Jesus is like, you know what? We can't change all that. But take my hand and follow me. Just be faithful to take the next step and watch me change your future. I interviewed a woman who was inside of an abusive marriage, and she gained courage through her relationship with Christ to leave that situation. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to her, because she really struggled with that decision to leave the marriage because of what the Bible says about marriage, because she was brought up in a Christian home. But the Lord spoke to her, and she was in such a bad situation. And what the Lord spoke to her was, we can't change that. But you can be faithful to just take the next step. And sometimes that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. But if we're trying to fix people, if we're trying to fix our past, and that becomes our Lord or our law or the rules of religion that we set up inside of our head, then we can't follow God, right? What about and that's the yoke of yesterday. What about the yoke of tomorrow? You think, oh, if I could just get a husband or just have a baby, right? And I don't mean to make light of that. And, you know, or if I could just get this promotion, if I could just get that. And so because of that, we're not cultivating the blessings that we have right now because our focus is on our future and not what God is doing in our life right now. We respond to wounds. And even though these are different than the laws that the Pharisees had, but the concept is still the same. That we'd love to point fingers at the Pharisees, but you and I create these rules of religion that we determine to follow. And Jesus says, the way that you find life is not by keeping all of these rules, but by following me. Life comes not from a list of rules I keep, but a redeemer I determine to follow. Lose your religion and find life. See, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said this. So he tells them to come to him. Come to me, all ye who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Balance, right? Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And so what Jesus says is basically, come to me, and let go of all the ways that you think you will find life. And instead of pursuing that, pursue me. Matthew 10:39 says it this way, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, if you give up what you think will bring you life, you will actually find it. And see, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees in another part inside of the scriptures in John 5, verse 39 through 40, he says this to them, and this is just kind of like very eye-opening. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. And as simple as it sounds, come to me. Sometimes you and I put ourselves in the cage of complexity because of our past way of thinking, right? And just like Manny was in that cage and the door is open, Jesus comes and he opens up the door and he says, just follow me and watch me give you life. I love the way the Message translation talks about this verse. It says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that awesome? Freely and lightly. But what does he say to do? It's not that you're going to stop working, right? You're going to come to him. You're going to come to him and follow him. Come to me. So what happens when we come to Jesus? You know, when Jesus says to us, lay down what we think will bring us life and come to him, and we lose those inner vows that we've created, and we just let Jesus lead us. And you know what we find? We find that what we're looking for is already there right in front of us. And not only that, but when I lose my religion and pursue a relationship with Jesus instead, I will be faithful with what is in front of me and experience balance, abundant life, authentic freedom, and fruitfulness. Number one, and inside of that scripture in Matthew 11, it says, come to me and you will find rest, balance. Not that you won't be working, but you'll be working right inside of your purpose, and you won't have to figure things out. All you have to do is follow, and that's a life of balance. It's when we yoke ourselves to the opinions of others or trying to pursue a perfect family that it's like those yokes will yank us around. Number two, You receive abundant life when you trust Jesus. John 10:10 says that he came to bring us abundant life. And in that scripture in John 10, it's inside of the parable where he's talking about the good shepherd and Jesus, he compares the good shepherd and the sheep to our relationship with him, and that he is the good shepherd and that we are the sheep. Well, sheep are led by trusting a voice. They're not on a leash. They're not inside of a pen. And so when we listen to and when we follow Jesus, and really, like, if you think about a yoke, like, you're just following the stronger ox, right? That's when we find abundant life. Matthew 6:33 says this. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need." In other words, take your eyes off the yokes, right? The yoke of the perfect family. And you watch, you follow Jesus. And it may not be, because, you know, I want to go back to this yoke of the perfect family. I think so many times, and the way I got myself into really where the Lord had to open my eyes was, is that, you know, and it's all good intended, that we sort of create in our minds the story of how we want to be a good mom and how we want our children to turn out, right? And how we want our marriage to turn out and our life to turn out. And you know, but our story doesn't match up with maybe God's purpose for our children. I mean, maybe you thought, well, my son or children will always go to this school, but they have an interest to do this, right? And so because of that, we're not really free, right? But when we listen to the Lord and we follow him and we let him be our leader and, "Lord, lead me in my parenting," then we find out this. Well, what we find out is that we're the parent and not the potter. And I'm just saying, that's what God had to tell me, right? And then we see life emerge in our children, right? Abundant life, all right? Number three, so balance, real rest, abundant life. Number three, freedom. Freedom is tying your soul to Jesus. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 3:17, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There is freedom. Beautiful, right? So freedom is not found. Like, I think sometimes, you know, especially if you've been through a controlling situation, that you're like, "I will never let anybody control me." And so because of that, that is the law that you've created in your life. And I don't think that you should be under the control of people. I'm not saying that. But then because of that, it's like you've set yourself up as, "I'm going to be in control," when God wants to be in control. And then you're really not free. You're really, really not free. Or if you say, well, you just create all these rules, right, that you think will be freedom. Or maybe it is that you think freedom is just doing whatever I want, but we know that's not true, right? We know that's not true. If I think, you know, like, well, I can just eat all the sugar that I want or whatever, I'm not free, right? And I've yoked myself to a thing. We will all follow a thing. And freedom, the Bible tells us, comes when we follow Jesus. And the last thing is fruitfulness. John 12:22 says this, "For I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone." Some of us, we've set up so many inner valves and we are alone because of it. And I've been there and I understand that. You know, community was the place where I was hurt. And there was a season where I just pulled away and said, "I'm fine, staying inside, slipping on my Uggs and having some coffee," because I didn't want to get hurt. Hurt, rejection's painful, right? But it's not, you stay alone and you're not fruitful and God doesn't want you that way. That scripture goes on to say, "But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. When you die to what you think will bring you life and live for the Lord instead, that's when we see not just fruit for ourselves, but an eternal fruit around us. I know some of this is hard, you know, because letting go of the laws in our life, I mean, some of us, if we've been through a legalistic background, sometimes it's even hard to let go of just old covenant thinking, right? And but we're called not to keep a list of rules, but to follow a redeemer. You see, life comes not from a list of rules I keep, but a redeemer I determine to follow. And so I want to challenge you to lose your religion and find life. So how do we put this into practice? I'm going to give you three takeaways, and I want you to pick one. Number one, have a counseling session with Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean coming to Jesus in prayer and asking him to reveal any inner vows that you've created, any inner vows, any yokes that are yanking you around in life. There may be, you know, hidden beliefs inside of your subconscious that you're not even aware of. So that's number one. And then ask him to show you the truth. And just begin to journal your thoughts. And then finally, ask Jesus, what is right in front of me that you want me to do? What is right in front of me? Number two, consider beginning your day with biblical meditation to center your focus on God. Now, part of the Nourish Bible Study method involves renewing your mind. And the reason why is that this practice was life-changing. I found that, you know, I talked about renewing my mind, you know, I read scriptures on it, but was I actually spending time to pause and to really renew my mind on truth? And so every week, when you do the Nourish Bible Study method, one of the things that we ask you to do is to find a truth inside of God's Word and to just pause for 5 minutes and read that truth, pray that truth, renew your mind to that truth. And the whole reason why we do that is to center our focus on God. Now, I've started incorporating this not just one day a week, but every morning when I wake up, one of the first things that I do is to center my focus on God's Word. And by starting my day that way, centering my focus, renewing my mind, what I'm doing is I'm really taking my thoughts captive and really focusing them in. Because what happens is, you know, you wake up, and there's all these yokes yanking at you. There's social media. There's what you've got to get done. There's the problem that you're trying to solve. But if you will wake up and center your focus on God, in other words, if we make our very first thing seeking the Lord, and not even just diving into Bible study, but really just taking 5 minutes to be still, to center your focus on God, this discipline, this daily discipline, it's been life-changing for me. Now, if you want to find out more about how to put this into practice, you can go to www.nourishbiblestudymethod.com. And what you can do is you can enter into our 21-day challenge. And inside of the 21-day challenge, there are 2 days completely devoted to the renew step of the Nourish Bible Study Method. And inside of those, I have 2 podcasts and 2 videos, and you'll really be able to develop this in your life. So that's number two. Number three, also go to www.nourishbiblestudymethod.com and consider changing your approach to Bible study by learning the Nourish Bible Study method. The entire goal of Nourish is not for you to diligently study the scriptures, it's to connect with Jesus. And in doing that, you change your focus, you change your pursuit. And we show you how learning to listen to God and put that one thing in practice, that's all about following Jesus. That's all about being faithful with what's in front of you. And that's very different from approaching Bible study, trying to learn it all and do it all. And we believe that the way to find life is to connect with the source of life, and that's Jesus himself. And sometimes when we approach Bible study in a way that we are looking to find out the do's and the don'ts, it's not a bad thing. But perhaps when we're doing it, we don't really connect with Jesus. We're just sort of going through the motions. So that's number three, is consider changing your approach to Bible study by discovering more about the Nourish Bible Study method. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And remember, life doesn't come from a list of rules that you keep, but a redeemer you determine to follow. Thanks so much for joining in, and I will look forward to talking to you next time. Bye-bye.